Hey everybody, it's Amanda. Welcome or welcome back to the Park Ridge Presby Podcast, the message podcast of Park Ridge Presbyterian Church in Park Ridge, Illinois. We would love for you to experience a Sunday morning with us, or you can always connect with us on social media. We are Park Ridge Presby on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. We hope this message inspires your faith to make a difference for you every day.
600 years. 600 years of fear. 600 years of one empire conquering them and then another to come. A political alliances being forged and then broken and then forgotten. People in cities living in fear and chaos just kind of reigning all around. If I hadn't given you a sense of the timeline, you might have thought I was talking about today. But the 600 years that I'm referring to, the 600 years of fear, were the 600 years that the Babylonian Empire had conquered and then the time through which the Roman Empire had conquered the people of Israel. They had been living for 600 years of fear. And for those 600 years, what they had was an abundance of fear and a scarcity of hope. Because all they knew was fear and all the hope they had was gone. Because not only had they been conquered for 600 years in a political sense, but then for the 400 years of that time, they thought that God had abandoned them. For 400 years, they were convinced that God was no longer with them. And what they experienced, they called the 400 years of silence. 400 years in which God had not raised up a new prophetic leader for the nation to tell them how to live. Not a prophet to predict the future, but a prophet on how to guide them how to live. So they had 600 years of political fear, and they had 400 years of religious silence. And that's how they had been living for the very longest time. And into the mix then comes this Jewish carpenter out of Nazareth. Just an ordinary guy. His name was Joseph. And he would have lived through this time of great fear and this great time of great silence. And if you were living in a time of great fear and silence, and you were just a normal, average person, you would just have lived out your life as an ordinary individual. And that's exactly what Joseph did. Joseph was a carpenter, and he had an arranged marriage to a woman named Mary. We would say that he was engaged to Mary. Now, everything was going fine for them until the very fact arrived that Mary was pregnant before they had gotten married. And Joseph, for whatever reason, knew that the child wasn't his. And so he had convinced himself that he was going to divorce her quietly so that he could avoid public embarrassment for her. The reality is that it was really about him as well because, you know, a few months later, there'd be an unwed mother without a father. And then there would be a man with an ex-fiance. What do you think people was going to assume had happened there? But then in the midst of this, everything changed because in the midst of 600 years of fear, then there was 400 years of silence from God. That all changed because God spoke to Joseph. Now, what Joseph would probably later recount was that he was sleeping one night and having a dream. And in that dream, the Lord spoke to him and the Lord told him what he needed to do. And in this dream, here's what God said to him through the angel. He said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And apparently, Joseph woke up the next day and listened to what he had heard in that dream. And he then stayed with Mary, and they had a son, and they named the baby Jesus. Now, we hear this, and we get all wrapped up in lots of questions about this thing. But in that day and age, if an angel had spoke to someone in a dream, they would have believed that God had actually spoken to them. So when Joseph woke up the next day, he had everything changed for him. He had a sense of what he needed to do and how he needed to do it. And so he did what God had told them in that dream. And so what happens then, as we know the story, Mary and Joseph then have this baby, and they named the baby Jesus. And that's a very important name to have. Now, that's a very important name to have in general, but specifically because that's not the name that he was supposed to have. That baby boy should have been named Joseph, named after his father. That's the name that he would have been given, but Joseph and Mary knew that they were supposed to name this child Jesus. And there was a very specific reason that he was supposed to have that name Jesus. And the reason is that that name Jesus means something very special. And what it means is this. It means the God who saves. And so when Mary and Joseph have this baby and name him Jesus, they are saying something loud and clear to anyone who would meet him, that they believe that there is a God who was going to save them. Now, with Mary and Joseph, they would have found themselves raising this child, and every time that this child heard his name, he would have heard the God who saves. And anytime anyone said his name, they would have been saying the God who saves. And eventually, as we know, this baby would grow up to be a man, and this man was indeed the God who saves. And little did Mary and Joseph know that at the very moment that Joseph had been able to find his way forward, the way that Mary and Joseph then came together and raised this child, it was the moment when they would begin to be able to dare to hope again. And so what it means is that because of Christmas, the birth of Christ, because of Christmas, we can dare to hope. We can dare to hope a lot of things, but because of Jesus and because of Christmas, we can dare to hope that this life matters. Because of Christmas, we can dare to hope that your life matters to God. Because of Christmas, we can dare to hope that all life indeed matters to God. Because of Christmas, we can dare to hope that every life that ever was, every life that is, and every life that ever will be matters to God. And we also can dare to hope that every moment that ever was, that is right now and ever will be, is worth redeeming. And that's what we can dare to hope because of Christmas. Now, in a time like we're living in right now, we need to be reminded of the hope that we can have because of Christmas. Because there's a lot of things competing for our time and our energy and our attention, and a lot of these things want to raise fear in our lives and reduce hope. But in the time of Christmas, we are reminded that we can dare to hope because of who God is and who Jesus was and who he would become. And in this season of Christmas, we need to be reminded of the hope we have in Christ, more maybe than ever in many of our lifetimes. We need to be reminded of what that hope brings to us, and we need to be reminded that that hope brings to us the gifts of love, the gifts of dreams, and the gift of laughter. Now, because of Christmas, we can dare to hold on to love. That love that we can hold on to at this time is the love that God gives to us, the love that God then calls us to give to one another. And because of Christmas, we can dare to believe that that love is real and that love is true. Also, because of Christmas, we can dare to hold on to the hope of a dream. And not our dreams, but we can dare to hold on to the hope that God has a dream for us, that God has a plan for this world, that God has a dream that God wants to see come true. We can hold on to hope that it isn't the nightmare that we sometimes find ourselves living, but it's rather the dream and the hopes and the prayers that God has for us. Christmas reminds us that we can dare to hold on to that hope as well. And Christmas also dares us to hold on to the hope that we can laugh, that God has indeed given to us the gift of joy, that God wants to see us be happy, as it were. Christmas reminds us that we are called to have the hope of Christ, that reminds us there is goodness in the world, to remind us that there are things that we can see that are blessings indeed. And with Christmas, we can dare to hold on to hope that is love, that is a dream, and that is a time for us to laugh. Now, these are the things that God wants for us because we can dare to hope for Christmas. And in this Christmas season, we can still dare to hope. Now, this Christmas season may be different in many ways than ones we've seen before, But this Christmas season is the same as the one we had a year ago and the same as the one we will have in the future. Because of Christmas, no matter what is happening around us, we can still dare to hope. We can dare to hope that God is with us. We can dare to hope that God loves us. We can dare to hope that God has given us a dream for the future. And we can dare to hope that God wants us to find ways to laugh in this life. And in this Christmas, we can celebrate all of these things. When this Christmas, we can celebrate all these things because we dare to hope. It's because of Christmas we are reminded that we dare to hope. Just like at that first Christmas, Mary and Joseph would dare to hope. Just like the people who would follow Jesus and to hear him teach and preach, the ones that would watch him die and come back from the dead, they dared to hope as well. Just like 2,000 years of followers of Jesus have dared to hope because of Christmas, we too dare to hope because of what God did through Jesus. So in this Advent and Christmas season, we can find ourselves in a place where we can dare to hope because God loves us. We can dare to hope because of Christmas. So in this Christmas season, let us remember and let us never forget what God has done. Let us never forget that God is with us, and because of Christmas, we can dare to hope. Amen.
Hey, thanks again for listening today. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can subscribe to this podcast or find us on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube. We are at Park Ridge Presby on all platforms.